Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Every one of us from time to time likes to peer back over our life, look back on years, kind of study where we've been. And that can be a good thing, or it can be a bad thing, depending on, of course, what your life has been like, where you've been, what you've done, because oftentimes, you know, we tend to peer back on things, and we do so in a way that's not healthy. It's not productive. And so, is there ever a time to really ponder our lives in the past, what we've done, where we've been? And is it ever something that's good for us to do? And does the Lord really want us doing that? Does he want us to spend our time thinking about our past, so to speak? Well, here in Deuteronomy chapter 8, the Lord not only wants us to remember something and look at something in our lives, but actually commands it. And he commanded the children of Israel to do just that. But in this particular text, folks, there's something that you need to understand, that I need to take hold of. And so tune in today. This is going to be an interesting study, I think. But it's something we all do from time to time. That is, looking back upon our life, looking at years gone by, looking at the good old days or the bad old days or whatever it was that, you know, you're looking at or thinking about. And we all have both, don't we? We all have victories that we look back on, and we all have defeats. And the point, I think, as we'll study this through, isn't the victories or defeats in our past as much as it is what the Lord asks us to do about it and with it. So here in verse 2 of chapter 8, the Lord here through Moses says, "And thou shalt," and whenever you see "thou shalt," that's a commandment. Remember, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not commit, you know, the Ten Commandments. So this is a commandment. Thou shalt remember. Thou shalt remember. So this is a command to remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. Now, again, everyone decides from time to time to take a peek backwards, back over the life that you've lived. But there's a couple of simple thoughts here, two of them primarily, that I want to talk about today that God says here are really key, that are really important. If you're going to take a look back, revisiting your past, then there's some way to do that in which is healthy, productive, and good. And this is what I want to talk about today. Because some of you have done that probably recently, if not today. Maybe this morning you got up and started thinking about something in the past. Some people are haunted by their past. Some people are distressed over their past. Some people live their life presently based upon their past. The past, folks, is the past. And even though there's nothing you can do about it, there are things you can learn from it, which is the important part of it. So, two thoughts here, two simple things. Number one, what should we look at if we're going to look back? If you're going to look over your life, what ought you to look at? And what ought you not to look at? Secondly, what reasons are there for looking backwards? Why would you want to look back in the first place? And your reasons are going to be different than God's. God says his ways aren't your ways, his thoughts aren't your thoughts. You know that to be true, I'm sure, by now. Our ways are sinful ways, generally speaking. God's ways are righteous. He is righteous, we are unrighteous. You guys know what righteousness means, right? Righteousness means right relatedness or right relationship. Unrighteousness means bad relationship, unable to relate rightly. So when God declares that he is the righteous one, he knows how to relate rightly. When he declares you and me to be unrighteous, he means that we don't know how to relate. And you know this is true. Ask your wife, guys. Ask your husband, gals. We don't know how to relate right. That's why we always need help relating. And we need God's righteousness because he knows how to relate the right way. And so I need that. I need that in my life. So God says, this is something that's going to be right for you to do. It's a righteous thing. It's a righteous way to look back, not an unrighteous way. And believe me, folks, there's a lot of unrighteous ways to look at your past. Many, many ways to look at your past. Because, first of all, let's look at number one, what we should look at. The things that we should look at, I want to wait for a second on. Because I think we should maybe talk about things we shouldn't look at first. Changing the theme of things here, midway. It's a dangerous thing to do for me with my mind. We may never get back to where I wanted to go. You're thinking, oh, brother, did I pack a lunch? Just a good send-off for you guys. Just stick around until about 4 o'clock today. No. What shouldn't you look at? Maybe that's where we should start, because that's probably more in line with where most of us are. We're not necessarily looking at what we ought to most of the time, generally what we ought not to. So I think maybe that's a good place to start. And for many of us, we have this tendency to look back on past lives that were filled with sin. We tend to look back. Have you ever talked to people? Maybe you're one of them. But have you ever talked to somebody who kind of glorifies the old days? The old days of drinking beer and, you know, raising hell, all that. You ever meet somebody that glorifies that and you go, wow, do you really think it was that great? Well, was it really that great? I mean, when you think about it, here I am telling you to think about it, even though you're not supposed to think about it. But since you think about it anyway, as long as you're thinking about it, think about this for a minute. If you look at those days, I mean, were they really that great? No, they weren't great. They were ugly, and there was just junk going on in your life that you shouldn't have been doing. And to glorify it, of course, is silly. But even to think about it too much is also dangerous. Because, you know, reliving those things in our mind, those are things, by the way, guys, most of which should have never been lived the first time. So don't relive them. So here's the thing. Don't think about those times, those things, in such a way that you can kind of hang out there in the past, hang out with those old thoughts, because, you know, some people think about their old flames. Huh. And guys, your wife will tell you right now, that's not a thought you ought to be having. And certainly don't bring up her name if there is one. Dangerous, terribly dangerous. Same for you gals. Don't bring up some Joe or Bill or, you know, he was such a nice guy. Remember him? He's trying to forget him. Hopes you're going to forget him too someday. So don't think about the past in such a way that you start reliving things, you see. It's not what you belong doing. It's not somewhere you should revisit. And some people do. Some people, and this is something dangerous for you men especially, things you place before your eyes, images that are there that don't belong. You know what I'm talking about. They don't belong there because they don't go away, do they? It's too easy to relive, rethink, isn't it? It's amazing, isn't it? I find that I wrestle with remembering Bible verses, locations where the scriptures might be, but I never forget an image that didn't belong in my mind. I can always bring it up. I can always raise it up, but I can't bring a scripture to mind oftentimes. It's an amazing thing. Don't relive those things. And when those things come, what does Paul say? Take every thought, what? Captive. Bring it to the Lord and say, here, Lord, this doesn't belong here anymore. I shouldn't have looked at it. I shouldn't have lived it. I shouldn't have said it. I shouldn't have done it. I shouldn't have enjoyed it in the first place. So therefore, it's not to be relived by any means. And give that thought, give it over to the Lord. And again, you're not supposed to go back and feel despairing and guilty and bad over your past forever and ever and ever, which is what some people do. So that's another not to do. People live in the past so much, folks, that they can't seem to get it right in the present. Oh, you don't know my life, you know, they say. You don't know what I've done in my past. You don't know where I've been. You don't know how hard it's been for me. I know it's been hard for everybody. It's been hard for all of us. We've all had our ups and downs, all had our tough times. But your past is past, and this is your present. So don't go back feeling guilty about your past all the time. Okay, so what are we supposed to remember? What are we supposed to remember about our past, and how are we supposed to deal with our past lies, and what is okay to remember? Well, verse 2 tells you. God commands to remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee. Remember how God led you through those times. Well, boy, those times, I don't think God had anything to do with those times. He did. He protected you. His hand was upon you more times than you may realize. I can't count the times that my life has been spared. Truly, I should have been dead so many times, unbelievably so. And yet, God's hand was upon me. Amazingly, he protected me through all that garbage, all that stuff. So he did lead me. I'm supposed to remember that. You see, and if you want to be blessed looking back, if you want to have some meaning, purpose to the life that was, that shouldn't have been, when you look back on it, remember that God protected you, held you, so that you didn't die and go to hell. Wow. That's pretty stern, isn't it? Yeah, it is, though. That's the deal. Remember that God was the one there when you should have crashed into that tree, when you should have gone off the cliff. He's the one that steered the car, kept it from going over, kept it from ramming into that. He's the one that kept you from not being in a psycho ward after dropping 3 tabs of acid. You ever know people that went into the psycho ward because of that? Some of them are still there, 30 years later, mind just blown. That's where we got the term, you know, they blew their mind. Well, they did. But you didn't. Maybe you did, and maybe God healed you. I don't know. But the point is that you were protected. God had you even back then. If you're here today, God had you then. That's what you're to remember, not glorify those days as if they were something special, like, oh yeah, that was really fun, you know, spinning out, you know, puking on my shoes. That was really fun. I enjoyed that. Wake up feeling like I was, you know, ran over by a truck. That's a nice feeling. I like it. It wasn't fun. It was a real stinky life, and you know it. So remember that God took you, held you. Why? Well, the word here tells us. Remember that he brought you through those years in the wilderness to humble you. To humble you, verse 2 says. To humble me. Yeah, to mold your character, to change you, to make you into somebody that didn't barf on your shoes, that doesn't have pleasure in the sin and the junk that we used to have pleasure in. He took you out of a place where you can't have fun with sin anymore. Isn't that great? You see, I still try once in a while, so do you, to enjoy sin. But you know what God always says? Sorry, you'll never enjoy sin again. And I wrestle with that. And I argue with the Lord. Lord, please, just let me have fun with this. Nope. If you do that, conviction's going to be heavy and you're going to feel the weight of my hand upon you. Is that good? That is good. It's to humble me. It's to change my character. It's to make me into somebody that I wasn't before. And the joy, the sorrow, the ups and downs, all the things you can think about in your past, and for some of you young guys, there's not much past to think about, and that's a good thing. If you don't have a past, hallelujah, make your present a good one. But here's the thing, all those things that you went through, all the tragic things, all the sorrow, all the grief, all the issues that you went through, that I have gone through, all those things are to shape your character, to mold you, to humble us. What does that mean exactly? Well, it means, kind of in literal terms, to just knock the self-confidence out of you. God wants you to look at your past knowing that he had you, that he holds you still, that he's got you and always has, so that you don't start feeling self-confident. The reason you have hardship, the reason I have hardship, folks, is much of the time is for my humility, which I need desperately. Otherwise, I will get arrogant and puffed up, start thinking that I can do something, that I'm pretty special, that I have a great deal to offer, after all. And the Lord just knocks the stuffing out of me, knocks the self-confidence right out of me sometimes, and I go, Lord, what are you doing? This is a painful, this is a hard thing, this is an issue. And he says, that's right. You're bad. That's right. You're bad. Aren't you? You're real. And I say, oh, well, okay, I guess. And we say, ouch, and the Lord says, that's good. That's good. You need to know who you are. You need to know who you are. You need to know who you were. Who were you? Oh, boy. Let's not go there. But listen carefully, folks. Sometimes the only way I can know who I am is to remember who I was. But not in a derogatory sense. Not in a sense of, oh, yeah, I remember. I was, ooh, and some of those things. And I'm going to go into despair now. And I'm going to go into a depression because of my past. No, not the point. The point is, I need to know that I was not together. I didn't have it all figured out. And the Lord knew that and was bringing me along, allowing me to go through things, even though he was taking me through them, had his hand upon me. But he brings me into this place where finally my self-confidence is knocked out of me. And then I can say, oh, Lord, I am nothing. You are everything. You're the one that I need. Without that humbling, without that issue of showing me who I am and where I've been and all the rest, I just simply won't go there with the Lord. And he needs to be exalted in my life, absolutely. And the lessons in life, folks, all center around this in some form or another. What? To make me aware? Yes. God says so. Right here, he says, it's to make you humble. I have allowed all these things. I've brought you through this. I want you to remember that. I brought you through this so that you would be humbled and so that you would know your heart. So you'd know who you are. So you'll realize that you're not all that great. So you'll know that I am, God would say. I'm the great one. You need me. You're acting like I need you. You ever act that way with the Lord? It's embarrassing to admit it, but we do. We act like, well, Lord, you need me. After all, look at the things I'm doing. Look at the gifts you've given me, Lord. You really do need me. The Apostle Paul thought that, remember? He thought that the Lord needed him to go to the Jews and preach, you know, and really share. And God said, no, you're going to need to go to the Gentiles. But Lord, you need me there. You need me to go talk to them because I am Paul. And I've got my degrees and I've got everything I need to go speak to the Jews and minister to them. You need me, Lord. And God said, no, I don't need you. You need me. And you'll need me when you go to the Gentiles. You'll need me when you go do the ministry I'm going to put you in. Even Paul, all men, all women have to come to this place where we're broken of ourselves in order for the Lord to be honored and glorified in my life. Everybody needs that issue taken care of daily sometimes. That's the lesson of life. But not only are we to realize that the Lord has been with us that whole time, leading us, and not only are we to be humbled, but he wants us to be revealed to ourselves, because by reflecting back on what we've done, we can see oftentimes who we are. And I can look back on my past and say, well, huh, interesting. That's why I'm the way I am now. It's all making sense. It all makes sense now. Oh, I get it. You ever meet somebody and they're kind of quirky? And as you get to know them, you hear their story and you go, oh, I see. I get it. Now I know. Because you realize who they were, it all makes sense as to why they are who they are today. It's not a bad thing. Don't get me wrong. You quirky people are going, hey, wait a minute. We're all quirky. You're in good company. The point is that oftentimes we have to have that revealing, that revelation, so to speak, in order to see that, oh yeah, this is where I am. That's where I came from. That led me here. Not to determine how your life is going to be lived today, but to help you understand that you're still needing God to lead you, because you're still who you were. You're a new creation, but guess who's still around? Paul says there in Romans chapter 7, he says, look, I'm a new man, I'm a new creation, but I find a law still present with me. What's that? Saul. Saul was still there with Paul. Oh, his name was changed. He was born again, but Paul said, I try to do good things, and there's this thing present with me. The old guy's still around. And he sometimes wins out. And you need to know that the old guy, oh yeah, the past is the past, and the old nature supposedly has been put away, but you ever find that your old nature comes back from time to time? Shows up, sometimes at the most inopportune times? Like when you slam your hand in the door? Something comes out your mouth and you go, oh, I don't know where that came from. Well, I know where it came from. The old guy's still around, isn't he? And he speaks up sometimes, very loudly. So he's still there. Paul says, I try to do good all the time, but I don't always do good. I do things I shouldn't do. The old man's still around. And I know that was me before, but boy, Lord, am I still that way? Yes, you are. And you still need me. You have to reveal that to your own heart once in a while, folks. Let the Lord show you that. You see, sometimes Christians get the idea that because I'm a Christian now, I'm no longer a sinner. Baloney. You're just as much a sinner as you ever were. You're a saved sinner. But you're still a sinner. And you should sin less than you used to, But you're never in this lifetime going to be sinless. But you should sin less. Do you understand the difference? You should be growing and sinning less. Although in this body, in this flesh, you're never going to be sinless. But you need to understand that you need God, because you're still you. As long as I'm me, I'll need him. You see, we don't grow out of our need for God. We grow in more desperate need of him. The more mature a believer is, the more he understands, the more she understands her need for God. The person who's really a mature believer is the person who says, you know what, I can't do a thing without the Lord. It's not the person who says, oh yeah, yeah, I'm doing great. You know, I've been so blessed with so many gifts and things that I really just don't have any need for God to just really, maybe you should ask him for help. I think you could use some help. I'm doing fine. Paul says, well, pray for that person. Because they're not what they think they are. In fact, they're very immature spiritually. So we need this revelation. We need this revealing so we can see it and understand our need. But more importantly, God says, so that we can submit to him. So that we can submit. He says there that I brought you along these 40 years. I want you to remember that. To humble you and to prove you, to test you really, to know what is in your heart. I want you to understand where your heart really is. Take a look, you know, and know who you are. And then he says, to know whether you would keep my commandments or not, to know whether you're going to obey me or not, to do what I say. Are you going to submit to me? Because the process in that verse is very, very important. I have to remember not only who I am, but who God has been for me. Be humbled by that. Be one who falls down before the Lord and says, thanks, Lord, for carrying me through those times. And not only those times, but today, Lord, this present time, because I'm still there. You've just shown me my heart. I'm still a sinner. I still need that help and that guidance and all that from you. That is the step-by-step process to doing his commandments, to submitting to his word. I have to know that he is God. I have to realize he's been with me, carrying me through, and will still carry me through, and I need to be humbled by it. The Bible says that God gives grace unto the humble, but he resists the proud. If I'm proud and arrogant with this understanding, folks, God resists it. He resists me. But if I am humbled by him and his awesome love for me, how he's carried me, how he's brought me through, and I humble myself before him, I see my heart and I go, oh Lord, wow, I can really see who I am and who you are. Then I'm willing to submit. You see, people are trying to submit to God and it's like work, isn't it? Without this reality, without being humbled before him, without really truly seeing who he is and who I am and getting the perspective right, you know, every morning getting up and saying, you're God, I'm not. Got that straight. And some of us act like that's not the way it is. We give God a list of things to get done for us today in the morning. Here it is, Lord. I really need this, I need that, I need that, and that. Okay, thank you. I'll meet you back here tomorrow morning. See if you got all that done for me. Now, he's God. And prayer, folks, is not telling God what to do. It's reporting to God to see what he wants you to do. You show up and say, Lord, this is a new day, is a new morning. What do you want me to do? What do you want to do? Instead of, well, Lord, here's what I'm going to get done, you know, with your help or not. That's some of our attitudes. We don't say that, but that's how we live. And that will not cause you to be a willing, submissive person. You will be burdened by submission. You will say, okay, all right, I'll do it. But God doesn't want you living like that. He doesn't want you acting like that when he says, here's what I'd like you to do. He wants you to say, oh yeah, I'm humbled that you would even ask. I'm humbled, Lord, that you would want me to be in a relationship with you and have something for me to do. And I'm so glad, Lord, that your plan includes me. And I bow to it. I bow to you. I bow to your will. What would you like to do today, Lord? Big difference. But it won't happen. Listen, it won't happen without this retrospect in a sense. That's why God commands it, I believe. Commands us to say, look back there. See? See from the very beginning how I had you? See how I was humbling you there? Remember that situation? Remember how that made you feel? Some of us still get red in the face when we think about things we've done. Still kind of humiliating, isn't it? And we think that's a bad thing. I'm here to tell you, it's not. It gets you down on your knees. It humbles you before your God. And that is the first step to submission to him. If I don't understand who I am and where I've been and what I've done and who I still am to this day and who I need to help me every day, I won't be submissive to him. I just won't. But if I do, then I've got everything to look forward to, you see. And I can be deceived every day, just like you, by the same things. Have you ever noticed that? Ever noticed that you get tricked? It's probably the wrong word, isn't it? I get duped, deceived by the same things over and over again. Oh, this is something that we wrestle with. Most of us do the same sins again and again and again and again, and it's like that, you know. You get a twitch, you know. What if you twist every time you did the same sin? You'd be busted. You know, everybody go, uh-oh, wow. God's merciful. He's gracious. He doesn't cause you to twitch or have your eye blink or something every time you're sinning. Boy, if he did, this place would be moving. Yeah. It's grace and mercy that God doesn't allow that to happen. We can conceal that, we can hide it, but most of us are deceived, tricked, duped by the same things over and over and over again. And this is part of why this is important, folks, because without that submission, then God says to know how to obey me, to know what to do and to start doing it. The reason that's important is because you're tricked. I'm tricked by the same things over and over again. And if we were watching some movie and a city or a fortress was continually attacked by the enemy and there was one gate, right, that the enemy just kept pounding and going through and breaking through on that one spot, that one gate, you know, and they never did anything about that spot. They just left it unguarded. And that's where they lost the battle every time. We would say, boy, those guys are dumb. I'm not watching this movie anymore. Because those guys should put some soldiers and fortify that gate. That's where they keep coming in, right? They keep coming in that one gate. Put some soldiers there, man. But that's exactly what we are doing when we don't do this, when we don't submit to God because we aren't really seeing where we're at in our hearts and we're not humbled by who he is and what he's done because we don't remember how much he's done for us. Then we are like that unattended gate. There's something in my life that I leave unattended. And guys, I got to tell you, sometimes that is purposeful. I leave things unattended where the enemy gets in because I don't really want to stop him. The word, God says, is living and powerful, right? It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It cuts me to pieces sometimes. But I take this in and I go, Lord, this is truth. And when I apply it and when I actually do what it says, I am fortified. And if I place that where it belongs. If I hear the word, and some of you need to understand this, that the things that you're continually fighting against, the areas that continually trap you, you need to put some soldiers at that gate. You need to take the word that's speaking to you, perhaps right now about that issue, and take that word and say, Lord, place it there. I'm not tricked by that, Lord. I purposely leave it unattended, unguarded. And therefore, the enemy just gets in there every time. This truth will help you if you'll let it. God says, I want you to know who you are and where your heart's at and all that, truly, because you need me. And when you take me for who I am and take my word, place it, man, at the gate that's being bombarded. Protect that part of your life with the word. Do that, you see. That one spot is weak. I'm going to finish up with this, but I need you to just pay attention for a couple more minutes. The issue, obviously, is to see how the Lord's led you, to see where you've been, see who you are, to humble you, to prove you, to test you, and, of course, to show you who you are in your heart so that you realize you need Him. And then, God says, then the commandments can be done. The word can be followed. And it all boils down to that one reason, though, folks, so that you will be dependent upon Him. You will take Him and trust Him more fully, deeper than you ever have. That's the idea here. God's not being mean or cruel by saying, listen, remember your past? Remember who you are? Take a look at that. Remember who you are now. Look at you now. God's not saying that in that sense that's condemning or trying to make us feel bad. He wants us to understand who He is. Because without Him, you will feel bad. You'll feel like a rotten person. Well, you are a rotten person. But you'll feel nothing but that. I know that to be so because I lived for a great deal of my life early on in that mode. I hated myself constantly. Well, I say I hate myself, but I really loved myself more than I loved God. But I hated what I did. I hated the way I lived. It's an amazing thing about that. You know, when you hate that sin as much as God does, you'll let it go. You'll let it go. But if you leave it unattended, you let the gate open. You see, you don't really hate it, do you? You kind of like it. You still like it. God wants you to hate it. This is how. Realize who you were. How God led you, who you are presently, be humbled by that. Go ahead and be broken by it and let the Lord then reveal how He's able to minister and empower you to overcome those things. One more quick thought. Verse 3 says this, as he continues on, that you would do His commandments, keep His commandments or not, to know that. And he says, and be humbled. He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, reminding them of His provision. Neither did thy fathers know, that He might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. He wants me to know that the things that I don't normally think about as being less important. I think that manna is pretty important. Food, bread, money, provision, those things, I think that those things are very important to me. And let me ask you something. Just, and this isn't a question that you're going to pass. You're probably going to fail it. This is like a you know, true or false, and you know, you'll fail. So here it is. How many of us, generally, and be honest with yourself, don't raise your hand though or anything, but if you could choose between having a real padded bank account, checkbook, just loaded, savings account stuffed. IRAs are just there, you know. I mean, you can have that, or you can have zero. But you would know that the Lord has everything in your life under control. Which would you take? And many of us might say, oh, I know the answer to that one. you didn't trick me. I'm not going to fail. I'll take zero and know that the Lord's going to take care of everything. But see, deep down, if that were so, you'd be a different person than you are. So would I. Oh, I believe it to a certain degree. I understand it. But do I really understand that I don't live on manna? I don't live just on bread alone, all the things that are out there. Do I understand that's not life? Do I really understand that I need every word that proceeds out of God's mouth to live on, even if there is nothing in the bank account? Even if there's nothing provisionally that looks like it's going to work out, do I understand it or not? Do I believe it or not? Because I'm telling you, if I believed it for sure, I'd be a different guy. What would you be? I don't know. But I'd be different. I'd be a different person in a sense. I would be more like the Lord than I am. And I know that some of you want to forget your past. You know, you're talking about remembering the past. You know, you just raised a real sore spot with me, you say. I want to forget the things of my past. I don't want to think about them. Man, I'm already getting just kind of disgusted sitting here because I don't want to think about those things. I want to encourage you today in something. If your past, if the things that you have done and experienced in your life, if they make you feel that way, I would just encourage you to go ahead and let that experience, let that thing, let that pass, whatever it is, let it go ahead and cause contrition in your heart, meaning let it break your heart. I find that things that I cannot look upon in my past, and guys, I have many things in my past that I certainly wouldn't want anybody else to look at, but I don't like looking at them either. They make me feel sick to my stomach. But I have found something, and I'm not done yet, but I've gone through a number of those things. Well, how many are there? Lots. I've gone through a number of those things, and when I actually am broken in my heart, finally allowing that breaking to take place, I am humbled by that. I realize that, Lord, it was an awful thing. It was an ugly thing. And I go ahead and I let it break me. Then it's not gone, but it's not the same. It's much, much less severe. Oh, it's still the same sin that it always was. But my heart has dealt with it. And let me just encourage it today. There are things in all of us that we've done. But the point is not is that thing that I've done going to stay with me for the rest of my life. It will. The issue is, does God still have you? Does he still love you? Is he going to continue carrying you? And is that thing, those things perhaps, are they helping you to be humble? They probably are. I find that the things that are in my past are in proportion for me to keep me from getting big-headed, puffed up, and arrogant. All I need to do, if I start feeling like something, is take a quick glance at me. and I immediately feel deflated. Like somebody takes a little pin and boom. All right. That's right. That's who I am. Okay. Thanks, Lord. Thanks for keeping me in line. I need you today as much as I needed you back then. In fact, I feel like I need you more. And that's a good thing. It's good. Sometimes we say, if I could just forget my past, if I could just forget my past, if I could just forget about it. God says, no. Remember it in this way. In this way. Remember that I had you all that time, and I still do. And that thing is to humble you and to make you realize that your heart isn't where it ought to be all the time. And to cause you to be humbled enough to where you'll actually submit to me. And then life really changes inside my heart. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word today. I pray, Father, that so many of us who have gone through things in our past, and Lord, to remember them brings up things that hurt and cause us, Lord, to realize that we're really not what we should be and have never been what we ought to be. We've always been sinners, and we've always wrestled with that. And today, Lord, I pray that you would do that which your word declares, and that is humble us. Help us to see, Lord, our hearts. And then, Lord, realize that the only way out of that is to submit to you and let you take our lives and lift us up. If we will humble ourselves before you, Lord, you shall lift us up. May we do that, Lord, knowing that it's not a bad thing to be humbled. It's not a bad thing to know that, Lord, we haven't been what we should have been. It keeps us, Lord, ready to give ourselves over to you, knowing we need you desperately today. And Lord, I know that you're there to provide. You're faithful, Lord, to come through. You're always ready to take us and grow us and shape us and love us and hold us and keep us. Lord, you're not causing us or wanting us to go through something painful so that you can just leave us, but so that you can wrap your arms around us, so that we're comforted by your Spirit, so that, Lord, we rely totally on you for provision in everything. Every word that comes out of your mouth is what we live on. May we see it, Lord, and grip it today in such a way that we don't forget. May we remember, as your word says, all the ways that you have led us and continue to lead us. In Jesus' name, amen.